Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Growing in Grace podcast. My name is Joel Breezeke. They call me the Breeze Man. I don't know why. It has something to do with my last name, Breezeke. The Breeze Man. Oh, and that guy over there, his name is Mike Kapler. They call him the Cap. I still don't know why.
And I want to know who they are.
They. Anyway. It's them. You know, them. All of those people. You know, the people who aren't you and me. Them. They call us that. No, hey, and this is, I just want to let you know, this is a prime episode of Growing in Grace, and the only reason I say it is because it's episode 1033, and that's a prime number. It can't be divisible by anything except itself and one.
Yeah, well, I'm a prime member.
The prime.
On Amazon.
And I know that you're in your prime.
That number keeps changing, too, by the way, as to what I pay for it.
Yeah, I know that. Thing. Oh man, I remember the the price and so many things. Not even gonna be able to afford to live anymore. Anyway, you know, there are a lot of prime numbers. I just happened to look this up. Between 1 and 1,000, there's actually 168 prime numbers. I didn't think there are so many. I mean, a number that has no other number that can go into it, and that's like 1 out of every 6 numbers. It's a number that surprised me, and I love working with numbers, but I had never come across that fact.
You know, just the fact that you know this tells me that you need a hobby.
That is my hobby. Meaningless trivia.
And now for my next number.
See, we get so deep and serious and spiritual on the podcast that I have to lighten myself up with meaningless stuff. In the rest of my life.
Well, I guess that's probably true. I mean, for me, I think I told somebody recently, my escape is to go into the sitcom world.
Yeah, Andy Griffith.
Just get away from whatever's going on around me and just let me pretend I live in Mayberry or something.
Yeah, the Flintstones and all that stuff. That's your escape.
Right to me and escape. There used to be a song called that. Oh, well, this probably isn't a good thing for a Christian. If you like pina coladas.
Oh, yeah.
Come and escape. I can't remember how it goes, Joel.
Come and escape with, yeah?
Yeah, escape.
Well, and then there's the Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani. That was a good one.
Oh, yeah.
And she has done some things lately where it seems like she has become a believer in Christ. Former lead singer of No Doubt.
I know she. Yeah, we watched The Voice, and when she's on there as a coach, she has made some references to her faith and church.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting.
So,
Indy.
Yeah, you just never know. Which is maybe something we can get into sometime.
Yes.
If not on this program, we may evolve toward it because you and I were talking before the show and got into some of that about how you just never really know the heart of a person. Even though some people think they do.
Right.
So let's get started.
Well, so we were talking about Jesus being approached by people who said, what works must we do to do the work of God? Or, you know, and Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So that's in John 6. Well, I spent some time afterward and some time this morning reading some more in John 6 and 7. And it was, it's just interesting to me. And I don't know really how deep this will be, but it's some things stuck out to me about Jesus and his conversations with his disciples and with just people in general, with the Pharisees, and how the things that Jesus said, if I could boil it down, sometimes people agreed with him and believed in him. And sometimes they said they didn't agree with him, and some people even call him a demon. And in John chapter 6, Jesus started off the chapter with a lot of disciples, and then at the end, we find that many of them left, and he was left with the 12. He talked about unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. I mean, and if you think about that, just say that you don't know anything about Jesus. And so Jesus comes to you and says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And he says more about that. That's in John 6, 53. Before that, he had talked about, the Father. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. That's interesting to me. That's something you don't hear a lot. So what does that mean? Well, I think that a lot of people could come up with a lot of different thoughts about that, what that means, and that might be something we'll get into here. But not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, which is he has seen the Father. So he's talking about being the bread of life, eternal life, eating his flesh, drinking his blood. And the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then in verse 60, therefore, I'm jumping around here, but it's to get to something. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Now, the thing about Jesus is that in things like this, he did sometimes respond, but sometimes what he said next just seems to even complicate things even more. At least it wasn't like a clear logical explanation, but it was the truth. So they heard, this is a hard saying, who can understand it? Verse 66, after Jesus had said some more things, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, so the 12 were left, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So all these other people had been with him, had seen the things he had done, heard the same things he said. Some people believed him, and some people doubted. Some people wondered, this is hard. I don't understand this. I don't get this. So the thing that I get is that Jesus didn't panic and go, well, here, let me explain myself some more. This is what I really mean. I think he let his words speak for themselves and let his actions speak for themselves. And there's more stuff to get to here, but I know that we both have some things that we can say about this. So I'll pass it back to you.
Well, so there's a lot of takeaways here, I think, but to focus on a couple, what you just read there, when you know, we forget sometimes Jesus had more than 12 followers, more than 12 disciples, and then whatever was left, I think there may have been hundreds at one point, and then they got down to, you know, whatever, 70, and it whittled down to maybe less than that, and whatever was left before John 6, that left the 12. They get all the attention. It's almost like everyone else was like the fifth Beatle. The fifth Beatle. they were like, oh, this Forgotten. Isn't going anywhere.
Right.
And one thing that jumps out at me, though, is when Peter says, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, that reminds me of Matthew 16, Jesus hanging out with his disciples. And he asked them in Matthew 16, who do men say that I am? Who do they say the Son of Man is? And they replied with, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he said, but who do you say that I am? And that's when Peter answered then and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, kind of like what we saw in John 6. Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, But my Father who is in heaven, it kind of lines up with John 6 here. I also say to you that you are Peter, also known as Simon before that, but you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So what he said there at the end with the binding and the loosing, well, you can get all kinds of different doctrines of men on that one.
But
let's focus on what he said. You didn't get this on your own. This was revealed to you supernaturally that you would declare me to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the rock isn't Peter, by the way. The perspective that I would have on this, Joel, is that even though Peter is like a small stone, that's what the name Peter can mean, the rock that he is going to build his church upon is this rock of revelation, if you will, this revealing supernaturally from God to the hearts and minds of people. And so, you know, in other words, Jesus was saying, you're not just issuing an opinion here. This was something that was communicated to you by God to your heart. So what looked like just a casual, well, what's your opinion of me? I mean, who do you think that I am? And when Peter said it, okay, you didn't get this on your own. And I just think that's an important takeaway, because the same thing is true today, Joel. It's people aren't coming to Jesus because we have this mass production of Bible publications. It's not just because there are more churches in our country here in our Western civilization. It's not because of those kinds of things. It's the same for the same reason that people came to believe in a risen Savior a couple of thousand years or so ago, is the same way that people come to believe in Jesus today. We're thankful for having more Bibles since they've come hot off the press, but we forget sometimes that the number of centuries between the resurrection of Jesus and now, the vast majority of those centuries, we did not have these publications. So how did people come to faith? How did people come to believe in Jesus? It's the same way as what Jesus was telling Peter. This was revealed to you apart from a human source. And I think that's an important thing for us to keep in mind.
Right, yeah. We of course have never been political on the show and on this podcast, and so that's not my intention here. But it was interesting a few weeks ago. By the time this post, I had shared something in regard to Charlie Kirk, and there was a lifelong atheist, and he says, "I was a lifelong atheist. No one had been able to convince me that God was real. I saw a video of Charlie Kirk explaining how and when he went to Israel and Bethlehem, he could feel God's presence. I saw the joy he had in his relationship with God, and it opened my heart. I wanted to feel that joy as well, and God didn't hesitate to take the opportunity to let me know he is real." So just that testimony, again, whether it was Charlie Kirk or anybody else, the testimony of this man, it wasn't, "I read the Bible." It wasn't somebody explained to me the Romans Road. It wasn't somebody said, "Well, the law says you're a sinner, and so you need to confess that you're a sinner." It wasn't this, that, or anything else. It was somebody else's testimony and seeing the joy and the peace in somebody else, and the guy wanted that, and God opened his heart to himself, if we can put it that way. So we have these ways that we think it has to be. You have to do this in order to lead a person to Christ, or, you know, all these things. But there's a spiritual thing going on in the hearts of people that we can't see. We just can't see it. And, you know, a donkey spoke to a man in the Old Testament. You can see all kinds of, Jesus said the rocks and stones could cry out. We think that everything has to be done a certain way. We've got our doctrines all in line, all lined up. This doctrine, you can see right here in this scripture, it clearly says blah, 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 this, that, or something else. And so it can't be, and we just We press our opinions onto other people, and we double down when people retaliate back. In our minds, we think they're retaliating. We're really, they're just sharing a different view. And who knows? We don't know the hearts of the people we're speaking with, and who knows? Maybe, just maybe, the truth is a little different than what we think or what we have previously thought. Who knows? So that's part of what we get out of this, at least what I get out of this. And it just, I see chapter 7 of the book of John, other people, other times, near the beginning, the Jews sought to kill Jesus. So there were people who didn't obviously believe in him. His brothers said to him, "Depart from here and go to Judea, that your disciples may see the works that you are doing." So this is the brothers of Jesus. They want him to openly show people, "For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." In other words, if you really want to get noticed, you got to show yourself. And Jesus is, he had a different mission from the Father. And then verse 5, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." That includes James. That includes all of the brothers of Jesus. They didn't believe in him, at least at this point. Other times, verse 15 of chapter 7 of John. "And the Jews marveled, saying, 'How does this man know letters, having never studied?'" So it's like, well, in order to know the word of God, you have to have been a person who has studied. But this man, you know, he's a carpenter. They didn't understand. They thought it had to be a certain way. And then I'll just, I know we're getting toward the end here of this episode anyway. "Jesus answered and said to them, 'My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. For whoever speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him.'" I believe he's talking about himself. "Did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law?" I find that interesting. He was calling them out. Why do you seek to kill me? You don't even keep the law. "The people answered and said, 'You have a demon. Who is seeking to kill you?'" So you've got people believing him, people not believing him, all seeing and knowing the same things about him, and different hearts, different responses, and I think that's the same way as it is today as well. Anything you want to wrap up with?
Well, I think there's more stuff to build on this, even going back to when you were talking about his brothers trying to give him advice.
Right.
They didn't believe in him. And so maybe we can dive into that a little bit. And what about his disciples? Even after the resurrection, we're struggling with doubt. Imagine yes. that.
Not just Thomas.
So, let's get into it next week on the Growing in Grace podcast.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki. Heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.